let you know before you try to go. Now this is my own show. Not a script or flip could make me stop, so just behave. I mean, there's no escape. Let's hope you make that drop, because you really don't want to take me off. And oh, what fun. I will tell you what to do and you will get it done. And oh, don't run. You'll find your nightmare here has only just begun. Welcome to my home.
Dummies, episode 40. We are back once again. We are the podcast that comes to you every week that teaches you a thing or two to the dumbest little guy about the genre we love. We usually do that. Not this week, guys. Not this week. So unfortunately, Ben's had to pull out at the last minute, so it's basically me talking shit. I know it's not the best show that I can give you guys, but hey, it's something. We're actually doing something a little different this week. Something that I've wanted to do for a while. So basically, if you've listened to us before, you would know. If you haven't listened to us before, let me just update you on who the fuck we are. We are a horror podcast that also likes to review music at the same time. So what I thought I would do this week is bring the best of both worlds to you. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Look back at the few movies that we love and check out the songs involved in those movies. Now, I'm not talking about the scores, the iconic pieces of music that you would know as a theme, such as the Halloween theme or the Jaws theme. No. I'm talking about real songs that have been put into horror movies that might just jolt your memory and take you back down memory lane and give you a good old smile on your face. How do you like that? Yeah? Yeah? Well, we're doing it. That's what we're doing. But first, I'm going to do the usual crap, the listener mail, the question of the week, and then we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the show. So, yeah, unfortunately, we are not doing The Strangers this week. It is going to be a half-hour show, my apologies, but you can blame Ben. It's his fault that he likes to work rather than talk to you, so let him know that you're pissed off at him. I'm joking, I joke. So, why don't we kick off the show with a little bit of a listener mail?
Listener mail.
We only have one this week, and of course it comes to us from our awesome co-host. His name. Oh, I've got to do it. Let me just get ready. Alan! Alan Chacha! That fucking hurts my throat every time I do that. He writes in, "My dudes, I have listened to the new Ghost album the whole way through as it was meant to be. I was wrong. I really enjoy hearing it on Spotify, all mixed up because the album caused the album to lose something. My apologies. Good luck with the weight loss. Thank you. I'll get to that in a second. I need to do that too. Don't go overboard and make yourself sick though. I'll try not to, Alan. But I really don't want to fucking watch The Mummy, I'll tell you that much. Ben didn't scare me this week, but damn, that beep did. I'll address that in a second. I thought I was getting an emergency alert on my phone. Yeah, okay. I love home invasion movies. My friend Rock and I used to joke that when he and I and a couple of other friends were walking around together, it looked like a home invasion waiting to happen. Butterfly knives are technically illegal here, but are very easy to get. Some petrol stations even sell cheap ones. There you go. That's a bit of a shock. Fucking American petrol stations apparently sell everything, so I've been told. Alcohol and... It's not fair. Can you fish for grouper there other ways besides spearing? It is a popular eating fish here. Tim the Dung Beetle and Ben the Jesus Lizard will return. Oh my god. They're coming back. Love and fishes. Cha-cha. I love how he ends that. Okay, let's talk to Alan a bit here. Alan, you can catch gropers any other way besides spearing. So basically, spearing is the only way you cannot catch them. If you catch them on a line, perfectly fine. Just because they're they're so approachable in the water. That's why it's illegal to spear them with spears. Much the same with lobster. Basically because it's too easy. That's the real reason. Now, I had to put a little bit of a sound clip in last week's show. Because Ben, being the fucking dummy that he is, spoiled a little bit of Hereditary that you really didn't want spoiled. So I had to put that in there. And I didn't realize it was that loud until I listened to the show back. But it was already sent off to Darian. So I couldn't do anything about that. So I apologize if I gave people a ringing in the ears. I'll try my best to fix that in the future. So thank you, Alan. Thank you for writing in. Guys, if you want to write in too, you can at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com or just check us over at the Facebook page. It would mean a lot to the world because sometimes it feels like no one listens to us. So it would be awesome if you just wanted to say hi or just tell me that I'm shit. Tell me that this episode's crap if you want. Go for it. Any letter is a good letter. All right, that's it for listener mail, but I believe, I have a question to be answered on behalf of Ben. So let's get into Ben's question of the week.
Ben's question of the week.
All right, we're here with Ben's question of this week. Now, he asked last week, what is the best creature design put on a film? So we have some listeners who answered. Ginger Jones has said, you already said my number one. That was Predator. Hell yeah. But this has to be one of the most fucked up favorite movies of mine. Tusk. And I don't know. I feel like me and Ginger are two of the only people in the world who actually like Tusk. All I hear about that movie is full-blown hate. I enjoyed it. I don't know why. It was just so fucked up and out there and strange that I really enjoyed it. And I really can't wait for Moose Jaws. If that thing is still going ahead, but we'll see. Christy Rollison says, Bruce the Shark, flawed but magnificent. Yes, I agree 100%. The Werewolf in American Werewolf in London. I also agree 100%. The Graboids from Tremors, the Crocodile from Rogue, Gremlins, Razorback, Grabbers. Just me thinking out loud. Okay, a tie between Bruce and the Graboids. Just love them both. That's a good answer. Thank you, Christy. Bruce definitely wins that fight, by the way. Chris Paley, Xenomorph, and Jamie Greenway agrees with that. Yeah, you can't not say penis head. I mean Xenomorph, whoops. It's, iconic. Daniel Kalouf, he writes, Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth. Creepy. Abe Sapien from Hellboy. A lot like him. But, I don't know, Pan's Labyrinth, a horror movie? I kind of put it more in a fantasy drama type genre. But either way, Monster and Del Toro, which is all right by me. Kieran Bowden says, Tim Davis's head. Well, yeah, okay. I am a good-looking creature, so I'll take that. Alan says, From Dusk Till Dawn vampires. Yeah, the titty-twisting vampires. Dig it. Sean Adams says, Nomak from Blade 2. Yeah, that's a good one. I love Guillermo del Toro's creature designs. I call him Predator Vampire. Because he has the mandibles and the hay and the... Yeah, okay, you get it. Yeah, so that's it. That's thank you to everyone who's commented this week. Now, question for next week. And this is something that's been plaguing... I'm actually happy that I got a chance to speak about this. This is something that's been plaguing my head for a while now. And I was thinking about Freddy vs. Jason, the film Freddy vs. Jason. Don't ask why, it was just in my head. And I thought, if they did what every horror fan wanted them to do, and just made a bunch of those movies where they put two horror icons head to head, and go, oh God, I would love this to happen. But what two horror icons would you love to see fight? If you only had one wish for two horror icons to fight, which ones would it be? For me personally, the one I'd love to see the most... look, I've got two, but
I'll say it right now, Leatherface versus Jason is one I'd love to see, but not one if I had one wish, just because we all know who's going to win that fight. Leatherface ain't the best fighter amongst the killers, but we can agree on that. But the one fight that I'd be curious to see is Freddy Krueger versus Pinhead from the Hellraiser series. I don't know why, I'd just be really curious, and I think it would be a fun matchup, especially with the two shit-talking each other. So yeah, let us know who you think should battle out against each other. This is a shout-out to the Terror Dome, which has just started on the Padded Room podcast. So yeah, you might want to head over there and check that out. Good times. Anyway, let's kick it off into the feature. Actually, before I do that, I have to address one thing. The Fat Boy loves loves his mummy segment. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, head over to episode 39, where me and Ben explain exactly what this is. I just want to give a shout-out to a few people who have contacted me on that and spread their support. I thank you so much. Not you, Darian. We'll get to why Darian's not being thanked next week when Ben's here, because he sent me some interesting messages. We'll get to that. But everyone else who sent supporting messages, I really, really appreciate it. It means the world. We'll get through it. I hope. All we got to do is lose 4 kilos in a month, which isn't much. Like, we're doing good. If you are a fan of the Facebook page, you would have seen the video that I posted the other day. So there's that for you. But yeah, keep the support flowing in. Really appreciate it. I really, really don't want to watch The Mummy, and I don't want to talk about it. No offense to you guys, but I have better things to do with my time. I'd rather watch, I don't know, Lake Placid again than watch The Mummy. Actually, no, I like Lake Placid. Lake Placid was fun. I don't know. But yeah, so we will update you more when Ben's back. I want to know how Ben's doing, because I actually don't know. And I've actually decided to swap his. If he loses, he has to watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No. I decided to swap his around. If he loses, then we have to do an episode on a Serbian film, because I know how much he doesn't want to watch that film, and that will make me happy. So yeah. So we'll get to that next week. But for now, let's talk a little feature presentation.
And now for our feature presentation.
Oh, so we're doing a mixtape. That's what I'm going to call this episode. The mixtape. Horror mixtape. I keep going to say Mixtape Massacre, but that's a board game. One that I haven't yet to get my hands on. But I will get it. It will be mine. Oh, yes. So what I'm doing today is just, as I said before, just showing you some songs. Playing some songs. We're having a party over here. We're going to play some songs that have been played on various horror movies. Now, some of these may be from the 80s. Obviously, you're going to get a few 80s, but some of them may be more modern. There'll be songs that I'm talking about that you would know of and are expecting, but there will be songs that maybe you've forgotten about, and this might just jot your memory and take you down to when you saw the movie that it was from, and just remind you about the good times. Now, I'm not going to play all the songs that we cover, but I will play snippets of them. There are some songs where I can't help but play the whole song, because it's that good and I enjoy it. But I've got 10 songs here that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to explain like the scene where the song comes in the movie, who does the song, and what they're doing now, or how they've been around, and stuff like that. So this is stuff that I find really interesting, and I thought you guys might find it too. If you don't, then yeah, let us know. So the first song comes from a movie from the 80s. Now, most of these movies are from the 80s, I might tell you, because you can't beat the 80s. I mean, the music selection was second to none, in my opinion. Cheesy, but fun. This movie is one of my all-time favorites. Now, it's not known as a great movie to some people, but it's a fun movie. The movie is Critters. Little space aliens with coils that shoot out and that will eat you and attack you. Just an all-around fun movie that spawned 4 sequels, and I love it. The song Power of the Night by Johnny Steele. Johnny Steele obviously being a character in the movie. Is actually done by Terrence Mann. He was the actor that played Johnny Steele, the bounty hunter, if you will. He's an all-round entertainer. So he knows how to sing, he knows how to act, and he's appeared on Broadway, actually starring in Lennon on Broadway, which is obviously a Beatles production. Now, if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's a guy that basically looks like a cheaper version of Tim Curry with the awesome flowing hair, and he's appeared in the movie several times, but we first see him on the television set where my I wish girlfriend, Dee Wallace, even though she's a lot older than me, is watching the TV and she sees Johnny Steele performing the song Power of the Night on the TV. But then we cut to the bounty hunters who I don't know what they do. They turn into him, basically. I'm forgetting the word right now, but they basically turn into a clone of him, and next thing you know, they go around and they want the crites, the critters. It's a great movie, in my opinion. I find it fun. I'm not gonna sit here and say it's one of the best horror movies of all, because it's not. But it's a fun 80s little creature feature flick with one hell of a song. And I really enjoy this song, and this song I'm going to be playing in full. So this is Power of the Night by Johnny Steele, or Terrence Mann if you want to go to his real name. Friday the 13th series had a variety of songs played amongst the whole eight Friday the 13th films. I just remembered that in the top of my head. But there are two in this list that I could not leave out. I mean, you can't go past some of the songs that were made for the Friday the 13th series. The one I'm talking about comes from Part 5, Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, when the character of Violet dances in her room to a robot-type dance, which is entertaining but humorous at the same time. This comes from a band called Pseudo Echo, who are actually from Australia, from Melbourne. I say this a lot. I say, like, they're from Australia. But the only reason I say this is because Australia doesn't really get much recognition. We're not known for our acts over here. Actually, I had a Brazilian gentleman ask me of famous bands that have come from Australia, and I couldn't think, besides AC/DC, of any acts, musical acts, that have originated from here and have done well overseas. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but AC/DC was the only one that came to mind. And are they Australian? You can debate on that. But this is Pseudo Echo, and the song is Here's Eyes, coming from Friday the 13th, Part 5. This band is a new wave synth pop band. Not something that I'm really into, but this song's quite catchy. I've got to give it to it. You can't not listen to this song and not think of the robot dance that Violet's doing. It's fucking unreal. And the kill that Jason does to Violet, it's simple, but it's effective. And quite sad, because to be honest with you guys, I kind of had a little crush on Violet. I thought she was quite sexy and I liked her style. And I would like to dance with her, but not that dance. You get my gist. So yeah, Pseudo Echo, Here's Eyes. I'm not going to play the whole song for you, but here's a little snippet of it. Enjoy. I couldn't not do this list and not add a Rob Zombie film into it, because all of these films are filled with different bands. But in my opinion, and this is my opinion, The Devil's Rejects is Rob Zombie's best film. Now, I'm a fan of Rob Zombie's Halloween. I feel like I'm the only person in this world who is a fan of Rob Zombie's Halloween. But I enjoy it. But in comparison to The Devil's Rejects, I'm not going to say it's original, because it's basically a ripoff of Bonnie and Clyde in a way. But it pulls you in and it keeps you there. You're never bored with this movie. But there is a hell of a lot of songs on this album. And the one that everyone remembers is Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, right at the end. That's actually the introduction to Lynyrd Skynyrd from this movie. And I'm now a huge fan of Lynyrd Skynyrd. But that's not the song that I'm going to do for you. Actually, the song I'm going to do for you is the first song from the movie. From the Allman Brothers Band. This is Midnight Rider. And you remember that part right in the movie after the cops bust them and they do the massive shootout. And then the Devil's Rejects escape through the back hole in the house. That's when the song starts playing. And Rob Zombie has a really unique way of picking songs for his films, and I really enjoy how he picks his songs, such as God of Thunder by Kiss in the Halloween remake. They just fit. They have a way of fitting, and I really enjoy the way he puts it. The Devil's Rejects soundtrack is one of my all-time favorite horror movie soundtracks. It's up there with The Lost Boys, Freddy vs. Jason soundtrack, if you want to get into actual metal music. But because It's mostly Southern rock, but you do have a variety of different genres on this soundtrack. Now, the Allman Brothers Band, if you don't know them, they're a Southern rock band, and they've been around for a few moons. They've been around since 1969. How's that? They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1995 and were number 52 on the top 100 greatest artists of all time. So how's that for you? Pretty good. Not bad. This is a great song. I really like Southern rock, and I know Alan does too. So I want to play the whole song, but we don't exactly have a whole lot of time to play the whole song. So I'm only going to give you a snippet of the song, because I feel like this is a song that everyone would know, especially from the Devil's Rejects if you're listening to this. So here's the Allman Brothers Band with The Midnight Rider. The movie Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon from 2006. If you remember it, you'll remember it being an interesting, but in my opinion, fucking great movie. It's a very different type of horror film, with its comedy and horror elements coming together in this documentary style really well. But there was a song that was played at the end of the movie by a band called Talking Heads. The song is called Psycho Killer. Now, most people would know this song, because I feel like it's an all-around pretty famous song that most people would remember. But when this, because I used to hear this on the radio all the time, but I don't know if it was just me, if anyone else here agrees with me, please let me know, so I don't feel like a complete idiot. But I always thought they were saying Psycho Chicken. And when he goes, bok, 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 I just assumed that was him talking like a chicken, because it was a psycho chicken. And it wasn't until this movie came out where I realized he was saying psycho killer. Give me a break, man. I was like 11 or something. So you can't quote me on that. But it's a great song. I really, really love this song. It's funny how the lead singer was often compared to Norman Bates because of his slim figure. I feel like it's a pretty funny horror tie-in. But the band have been around since 75. They broke up in 1991. And they're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001. So how's that for you? Now, if you guys haven't seen Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, this is one movie that you need to seek out and check out, because it's a blast. Not something that you're going to expect, I'll give it to you that, but something that I feel a real horror fan would enjoy. And maybe look closely if you haven't seen it, because you might recognize some things throughout the film that will take you back to older classic horror films. So I can't not play this song. I mean, it's a classic, and it's a fun song at that. Before I play it, though, I must add, I did actually see a film clip, a little video of Jack Black miming this song, and it just makes me laugh. I love Jack Black, so if you want to see Jack Black singing this song, you can do that on YouTube. But anyway, here's Talking Heads with Psycho Killer. We'll be right back.
to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. Can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
Okay, so we've had two relatively modern movies. I mean, they were a bit over 10 years old, but still modern compared to the rest of the list that I have. So let's go back to the 80s. We're going back to 1988 with a movie that some would struggle to call a horror movie. I feel it has enough elements to be included into the horror genre, and hey, the horror fans love it. The movie's called Beetlejuice. Who remembers Beetlejuice? I mean, you had a pretty good cast. Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice himself. Who's the girl? Catherine O'Hara from Home Alone. Winona Ryder She's done a few things, especially recently. But yeah, it had an awesome cast, directed by Tim Burton. Great film. Struggled to call it a horror movie. I guess it's more of a comedy fantasy film, but has the horror elements to it. But you cannot do a mixtape of horror movie songs with not including the banana boat scene from Beetlejuice. I mean, what a iconic and funny scene that is. Now, if you can't remember the banana boat song, comes from Harry Belafonte, who I just looked up and is the age of 91 and still going strong, man. So good on him. That's pretty good. He's been rocking since 1949. That's a bit of an effort, man. And it's still going till now. So yeah, that's pretty good. But can you ever forget the scene where they're sitting around the dinner table and the mum from Home Alone, I can't remember her name in the movie. I'll look it up right now. Delia. I'm gonna go with that. Delia starts busting out this song. She's obviously being possessed by the two ghosts, and then they all start dancing that awesome dance. So it's not exactly the song that makes the scene memorable. It's more the song plus the dance that really does it wonders. But that's why that I wanted to talk about it today, because it's just such a fun scene. It will just take you back to good times of watching Beetlejuice. So I'm going to play a little snippet from that song right now. Actually, you know what? I'm going to play a snippet from the actual movie, that scene. So you might hear a little bit of a acting guild going on before the actual song hits. So this is Banana Boat by Harry Belafonte. Enjoy.
I would rather talk about
what's cute, Delia?
Daylight come and me want go home.
Otho, are you doing
work
this?
Work all night and a drink of rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Day is a day, oh. A beautiful bunch, a ripe banana.
Daylight come and we want go home.
Hide the deadly black tarantula.
Daylight come and we want go home.
If
the early 2000s were filled with remakes. Some of them good, some of them bad. One of my all-time favorite remakes was from a movie called Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Now, we spoke about a little band called Leonard Skinner before. And you know where this is going. Sweet Home Alabama, man. Can you go past this song and skip it? I mean, it's a classic song. One that still is enjoyed by many people, I'm sure, myself included. But can you go past that scene? I mean, you're on the way to see one of the biggest, well, I'll actually say the biggest southern rock band of all time, and you are stopped by a hitchhiker. Not a hitchhiker from the original movie, but a different type of hitchhiker. But that scene when they're just cranking the music up, driving down the road, Jessica Biel's in the front seat. Oh my God, I would give anything to be in that van right now. I don't care what was going to happen later. You have a smoking hot Jessica Biel with Leonard Skinner playing in a van that's filled with weed and countryside. Yes to that. I'm all about that. Now, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake is one of the remakes that many people have no problem with. Me personally, I actually find the remake on par with the original. I love them both. I find Leatherface in the remake a lot more scarier than the original. He just looks more beastly. And, well, let's be honest, he acts more sane. Not sane, more normal. not as much of a mental person. So there's that for you. Plus, his mask looks a lot better, I gotta say. But, yeah, man. Leonard Skinner. I mean, what's there to say about Leonard Skinner? Unfortunately, there was that plane crash that killed a few members, including Ronnie Van Zant. But luckily, the band picked up, brought in Johnny Van Zant, Ronnie's younger brother, and kept going until the present, until now. And I was actually listening to their latest album from 2012, I believe it is, Last of a Dying Breed, and it's not bad. I really quite enjoy it. So, yeah, that's Sweet Home Alabama. I don't think I really need to play the whole song because everyone knows Sweet Home Alabama, but I will play a clip of the song, so enjoy.
2, 3.
Toyota.
I think I'd be remiss if I did not play a song from the Nightmare on Elm Street series. We're going to play a song from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. This is Are You Ready for Freddy by the Fat Boys. We're hitting hip-hop and rap land in this bitch. Now, do you remember the Fat Boys? If you remember, any of you had the DVD for Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4, if you did look at the special features, you might have seen the film clip for Ready for Freddy by the Fat Boys, and you probably laughed at it, just much like I did, and in your guilty subconscious mind, you're probably thinking, this isn't a half bad song, and I'm quite digging it, but you wouldn't really tell anyone that, because it's quite embarrassing, isn't it? But this film clip is, look, it's different, it's entertaining, it's strange, it's fucking hilarious, and it's fun. It's a fun film clip. And the song's fun as well. But if you're like me, and you knew a bit about the rap scene in the 80s, I'm a big Run-DMC fan, but I've never ever heard of the Fat Boys. So I took to a little bit of a study to know more about the Fat Boys. Now, they were put together by a manager called Charlie Stettler, which is the whitest name I've ever heard, who was a fan of rap. He put them together to do a TV commercial, and they took off. Their 1984 self-title is considered by many to be an early hip-hop classic. Now, this song, Ready for Freddy, comes to the album coming back hard again from 1988. I have yet to check out this album, but maybe I will, because this song, it's an 80s hip-hop song, so you know exactly what you're going to get. The band, unfortunately, broke up in the early 90s because of a few things, but sadly one of their members in 1995, Buff Love, died. That was due to his weight. He was over 200 kilos. So that was he was a heavy boy. And you can see him in the film clip too, Ready for Freddy. Now, if you do not know this song, if you never heard this song, then I need to play you this song, because if you've never heard this song, then get ready to listen to Freddy Krueger hit some tasty jams and tasty grooves and raps. They're very Will Smith-esque rhymes, very simple rhymes that will make you giggle, but make you move your body a bit. They're fun, it's enjoyable. This is Ready for Freddy by the Fat Boys. One of my all-time favorite scenes in any horror movie is the part in Return of the Living Dead when Trash takes off her clothes, dances naked on top of a grave. I mean, what more can you want in an 80s horror film? Naked hot chicks dancing on in a cemetery. Yes, thank you. Unfortunately, we're not doing that song because I've already played it on this show before. We are actually doing a song that was off this movie, Return of the Living Dead, and it's actually the one that many people would remember if you watched the trailers back in the day. It's from a band called 45 Grave. The song is Party Time. I looked up 45 Grave because I didn't know if they were an actual band or if they were just signed to write music for this movie. And I found out that they've been going since 1979. Now, they've been on and off again since then, breaking up a few times and then coming back together. But at the moment, they're still going. How's that? Obviously a few member changes, a few people have died along the way, but they're still going, so that's pretty impressive. They've done a variety of songs for various other movies, one of them including the Night of the Demons remake, which, unlike the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, isn't one of the best remakes out there, but I'm not going to call it the worst, because I had some fun with it, a little bit. I know a lot of people hate it. I'm not one of those people who hate it, but I wouldn't tell you all to go out and see it. How about that? But yeah, 45 Grave, Party Time. You would know this song if you've watched this movie. I mean, I think it's played various times throughout the movie. It's played in the trailer. It's a good, fun song. It's enjoyable. So I'm going to play a snippet for you right here. So this is 45 Grave with Party Time. Winding down now, we've got two songs left for you to play. I'm going to play both these songs because I cannot not play these songs. Now, I said before that there was two songs from the Friday the 13th series that were being played on this list, so we're going to talk about the second song. This one comes to us from Friday the 13th Part 6, and you probably know exactly where I'm going. We're talking a bit of Alice Cooper right now, the man behind the mask. Now, this, he also had... This comes from his Constrictor album from 1986. He also wrote a few other songs that appeared on the movie, such as Teenage Frankenstein and Hard Rock Summer. Now, I only found out, I've known this song for a long time, obviously because of the movie, but I only found out the other day that this actually has a film clip to it. But it's quite hard to find. It's on YouTube, but it's very low quality. You can watch it there. I don't feel you need to watch it because it's basically Alice Cooper singing the songs with clips of Friday 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, spliced in between. So it's not one of the greatest film clips out there, but it does have a kind of a little story that goes with it in the start and in the end, but nothing you need to really rush out and see. What can I say about Alice Cooper? I mean, he's the godfather of shock rock. You cannot have lived a life without hearing an Alice Cooper song. I mean, School's Out, Billion Dollar Babies, Poison. Fuck, there's a lot of Alice Cooper songs out there that are played on radio regularly. And if you are living under a rock, you won't know who Alice Cooper and don't know who Alice Cooper is. Shame on you. You need to get out there and not only listen to his music, but go and see him live because he is one of the best, on par with Kiss, I would say, he's one of the best live acts. Definitely theatrically, way more better than Kiss. Theatrically, is probably the best live show I've ever seen. I mean, he cuts his own head off. How's that for you? So, definitely worth checking out if you have not. I'm sure everyone that's listening to this right now is knows of Alice Cooper or has seen him countless times, like myself. Well worth every cent that you put towards him. But the song, The Man Behind the Mask, I mean, it's a great song, and it just sums up the Friday 13th series to a T. I do remember it's on DVD actually, a live show of Alice Cooper where he did have Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees come out on stage and kill him. So you know this man's been around horror for a quick second. He's up there with Rob Zombie as the musician with the horror movie credits. So yeah, I can't not sit around and not let this play. I mean, I want to hear it too. So yeah, Behind the Mask, this is Alice Cooper.
You're with your baby and you're parked alone on a summer night. You're deep in love, but you're deeper in the woods. You think you're doing alright. Did you hear that voice? Did you see that face? Or was it just a dream? This can't be real, that only happens, babe, on the movie screen.
Last song I'm hitting you with tonight is from the movie Dead Snow 2. This is On Par. Now, I said a few episodes ago that What We Do in the Shadows is my favorite horror comedy of all time, but I forgot about Dead Snow 2. Now, I'm not going to turn around and say that's my favorite horror comedy, but it's on par with What We Do in the Shadows. This is a great sequel. It's a great film. You can watch it. No, you can't. Let me retract that last comment. It's best to watch the first one first because they do tie in, but they're very, very different. You do have the comedy elements in the first film, but this Part 2 is much more of a comedy film than it is horror. Now, it does have, obviously, the over-the-top gore, which looks great. It's got a insane story, but it's just a fun film. The song that I'm going to talk about comes to us from the last scene of the movie. one of the best scenes ever out there when... Now, spoiler alerts, if you haven't seen Dead Snow 2, you might want to go out and check it out before you do that. I believe it's streaming on Netflix, so there you go. When the main character goes to visit his deceased ex-girlfriend, and he has the power to bring back the dead, but they still remain undead. And he does that, and they get it on to the song Total Eclipse from the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. Now, this is, I'm not ashamed to say that this is one of my favorite songs of all time. I just really, really enjoy this song. I find it just awesome, great, especially when Will Ferrell does it in, I think it's Old School, I believe it's that song, where he just randomly puts F-words in it for no reason. It's good time, it's funny. But the scene in Dead Snow 2 is disturbing, yet highly, highly laughable at the same time, but in a good way. This movie is well worth a watch, even just for that scene alone. It's a great movie. Damn it, I want to go watch it right now. So I might go do that. So this is the last song that I'm going to play for you tonight is Total Eclipse from the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. But this is the last song of the night, and that wraps up this episode for this week. I know it's been a short one, but I was given less than 20 minutes to come up with an episode for you all. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please let us know at horrorfordummies@hotmail.com or check us out on the Facebook page. We are proud members of the Padded Room Network. You can check us out, them out, the Padded Room Podcast, and Cake Wolf's Happy Hour at paddedroom.podbean.com. Fuck you, Hereditary Girl. And so basically that's been our show. We'll be back next week. We're doing The Strangers. Then we're doing Strangers 2, and we're going to cover The Offspring's Ixnay on Ombre. That will be next week. We promise we'll get it out there for you. So until then, we thank you. I have been Horror for Dummies, and I'll catch you next time. This is Total Eclipse from the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. Yep!
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit angry.
I can do a total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
Woo!